B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. .975 The Fanatic.
It is the 5 o'clock hour, brought to us by Guided Door and Window. Buy any window or door, get the second at 50% off, plus interest-free financing for up to 18 months. Call Guided Door and Window today. The number is 1-877-GO-GUIDA. That's online, goguida.com. You know, I got a couple emails. And one guy is just a hater of Brett Brown, but there have been a couple other guys that have accused me and us, this show in particular, with being too soft on Brett Brown.
Okay.
Now, here's the maybe it comes off that way, but I assure you that I examined Brett Brown just like you guys examined Brett Brown. In fact, when they lost to Miami in that embarrassing night, I was one of the guys that said, you know what? Maybe he has lost them. Maybe it at that particular time, I would have considered. If I was an owner, I may have considered. That was such a shock to my system.
Right.
That I said, you know what? I wouldn't blame them a little bit. That maybe they've stopped playing for him or whatever. But now we are now in late February. And in late February, you're just frustrating yourself even thinking about the Brett Brown situation. It's a situation that's going to rectify itself at the end of the year one way or another. But like right now, I don't know, like what are we supposed to do about Brett Brown? They're not going to change coaches right now. So when I examine the Sixers, I go, I got to examine it with Brett Brown as the coach. I can't sit here and constantly go, oh, the coach needs to be fired. The coach needs to be fired, because it's a waste of breath. It's a waste of energy. He is going to be the coach. So with him, we'll see if they can pull it together. If you don't believe that, that's fine. But I have to judge it objectively at this point.
To me, that's the only fair way to do it. And, like, people want to blame the Glenn Robinson. This is what bothered me about the Glenn Robinson thing. So the people go, see, Brett didn't tell him. Then before the game, Brett said it's not true. And then he laid it out and kind of told Robinson what was what. You really believe that, like, people, now they're looking for reasons because they already don't like the guy. It's going to play out on the court.
It is going to play out on the court. And it is very possible that he is the wrong coach for this team. I mean, that's the only thing I can say. And the rest of it is just, you got to wait and see at this point. There is nothing that you can do about it now. And there's no amount of bitching and moaning that you can do that's going to change the Sixer situation right now as far as the head coach goes. Either he's going to be good enough to get him into the Eastern Conference Finals, or he's not.
Yeah.
And maybe even then it wouldn't be his fault. It would be the players not responding the way they should respond and the way they should be playing. But he is going to feel the chopping block if they don't get to the Eastern Conference Finals. And I don't know, will he survive if they play well in the second round? They lose in seven again? Will he survive? I don't know. Well, I would think it's time to move on, frankly.
If they lose in seven to the Bucks, and then the Bucks win in five, and then win the championship in a sweep, maybe. But even then, I agree with you. I don't know if it'd be enough. So it's all going to play out. And here's the thing. If somehow the Sixers got to the conference finals or the NBA finals, right? At that point, he doesn't deserve to be fired. So then it's a non-conversation. This is all going to be, you get what
right.
I'm saying? Like, this will be
right.
decided.
Now, listen, I've got my idea on how this season is going to turn out. And
right.
I don't think it's going to turn out as optimistically as we would hope. All right? So that means to me, they have a chance to lose in the first round. And most assuredly, they're not going to get past the second round. That's my conclusion looking at this. And if they don't get past the second round, whether it's 6-7, it doesn't matter to me. Whether they don't get past the second round, I would think that ownership would think it is time for a different direction. And I think that is very fair on how I'm judging this.
If there'd be three straight second round exits.
Yeah, and that's not saying he was a bad coach. It's saying that we went as far as we could here, and a change in direction is where we need to go. For better or for worse, we have to have some kind of a change.
And that happens sometimes. And then Brett would get another job in due time, and then a new coach comes in, and you see what happens. But I think just because you're not saying every day to fire him, that doesn't mean you're taking him completely off the hook. You're just being realistic. These fans literally want him to be fired today. What would that accomplish if you fired him today?
Yeah, it's not going to happen. This is why I don't engage it, because it's futile to think, well, they're not going to do it. They're not going to fire Brett Brown and hire Jason Kidd or whatever your crazy idea is. After that Miami game, it was clear to me that they were going to go to the trading deadline and give him a couple more players he could work with. And at the end of the season, they're going to decide. So stop breaking my onions here. You know? All right, let's go to Josh. Call from Mississippi. What's up, Josh?
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
What's going on in Mississippi today?
Nothing much. I was just trying to talk a little bit about Andre Dillard.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I think that there could be like some very real merit to them wanting to trade him, because if you remember back, there were some actual reports about he was getting into fights during his very first training camp. And at one point,
that was an outlier. He wasn't a bad guy. That was just one of those training camp situations.
You don't think so? Because like,
No. He's a very polite, well mannered guy. And they don't have a problem with him as far as that goes.
And I'm not saying as such. Like, I don't think I would ever come at his character. But at one point in the season, he also refused to change sides of the offensive line. Or at least he spoke.
He didn't refuse. He played.
Did he play on the other side?
Yeah. Where are you getting your news in Mississippi, bro?
Well, obviously not. He did play.
He just said he wasn't as comfortable on the right side, and he didn't play well. So they abandoned the idea.
Well, do you think it could absolutely have anything to do with they have more confidence in, like, the Aussie, Jordan Mulata?
No.
Absolutely not?
No.
So do you think it's like they're just like kind of floating these rumors to gauge
interest? I don't even know if it's a true rumor, to be honest with you. I know that they would get 50 cents on the dollar if they tried to trade him. It was a first-round draft pick, right? They wouldn't get a first-rounder for him, so it doesn't make any sense that they would want to trade him. And it's just one little report from one guy in the industry.
Yeah, it's a small source. Yeah, I understand that. But I just think that there could be some sunk costs. Like,
it doesn't make any sense to trade them. They're not going to get value if they trade them. And they're going to re-sign Jason Peters. What's one going to last 1 year? So they're going to have some kind of a backup plan. If they don't think he's ready yet, maybe they think in one more year he'd be ready. But I don't think that they would trade him this young.
I can see that, and I see that side of the point, but I guess I just have more faith in Jordan Mulata than a lot of the other guys.
Why do you have faith in Jordan Mulata?
Maybe I have a thing for Aussies. I'm a big Ben.
Well, first of all, he's never going to be a left tackle in this league.
Howard just thinks that there's some other teams who desperately could use O-line.
This is like Club Tyrone, man. That kid hasn't been, he's still over his head in this league. Well, what are you seeing in him?
Well, I think he's a big body, and I trust the coaching staff. And obviously, if he's made the 53-man roster at this many years,
barely making the roster. I mean, he's still a project. Hey, I know he's your man. He's Club Tyrone.
He's not Club Tyrone, to the point where I think he's going to be the starting left tackle. I do think this is the year where he plays football as a backup, because you'll have no Big V anymore.
He's a right tackle at most, right?
Well, I don't know that for sure.
You can play left tackle?
As a backup, I think so. But I'm not. The Dillard thing would be they would have to think, okay, we don't think this kid can play.
It wouldn't be based on Mulata.
It would be based on them saying, okay, I don't think this guy can play. There's a big difference.
And it's too soon to determine that in light of the fact that if you trade him, you wouldn't get the same value. So it's like a car that still runs.
It's one person. And when they say on the block, if maybe somebody called about him and the Eagles said no, and then that other team leaks it out, oh, I called about him, that doesn't mean he's on the block. Like, I don't know if I believe
this. Jordan Mulata thing is fascinating to me.
Why do you think more than you do?
Romance by Jordan Mulata. Because he played rugby and he was fast.
I love that it's just still going on.
It really is. It's funny to me. All right, Nat.
Yeah.
What is going on with your trash situation here? Now, you're in Fishtown, right?
Yeah.
And so there's an alley where you put your trash?
Okay. So there's a ton of new construction all over Fishtown. So they built these houses near where I live. Mm-hmm. They're on the block next to me.
Mm-hmm.
So they attached this alleyway where you can bring your trash out from the new construction. However, the front of their house is on the other block.
Uh-huh.
So because of the alleyway, the people have been bringing their trash and putting it out front of my house. And it's an excessive amount of trash. Excessive. So I've been a little bit peeved with it, but I'm a patient person. It's been going on for a couple months. I thought to myself, I'm not going to say anything, but the trash, it's everywhere. And I only have one little trash can.
It's strewn all over the place.
It's strewn all over the place.
In front of your property.
And they're not putting it out correctly. Like, they're not tying up their boxes or anything like that. So last night I got home, and then I look, and there was all this trash in my recycle bin. Fancy feast, fancy milk. Now, I can tell you that these people aren't from Philly. I know that. So I don't know if I should, what I should do with their trash. Should I move it in front of their house?
No.
Because there's technically...
Because you're doing labor to move trash that you shouldn't be doing labor for.
They don't even have the same trash day as I do.
Sign.
They have a different trash day. And what do I say?
Sign. Please do not leave your trash here. Sign.
But then,
what,
then
right
it's going to get thrown away.
What?
Then it's going to get thrown away.
What?
The sign?
Well, at least you're you're communicating.
A laminated sign.
They don't know what they're doing. It's offending you. So tell them it's offending you by sign.
Well, I thought that I'd go and knock on the door and say, is this your fancy feast, first of all, because this is not my recycling bin, so you must have mine.
Well, you're going to create acrimony if you do that. You could do that. You could be confrontational.
Well, is it confrontational to just say there are rules here in Philadelphia with your trash?
They're going to think you're a little bratty.
I've been very patient.
No, you have been patient. That's what I'm saying. If a sign doesn't do it, then you take that step. And then you do it a little anger. But you had signs. So listen, I put a sign there because it's really unnerving to me that you please abide by the rules here. And it's like it's in my property.
It's all over the place.
Well, it's signed first.
And then they don't collect it all. So it's left there. The remnants are there. I don't think the sign's going to work. I think these people are kind of clueless.
But it puts them on notice. Well, they can't just ignore the words. If somebody puts a note on your windshield, right? Do you notice that?
Yes.
All right. Maybe I was wrong. They put a note on my windshield. I was parked on the line when I shouldn't have been on the line.
I guess. I'm just not sure what to do. Or because there's so many facets to it. A, it's not their trash day.
Put them on
B, it's not even out front of their house.
I guarantee you they think they're getting away with something, or they're oblivious to the fact that what they're doing is wrong. So when you bring to the attention that what they're doing is wrong, if they keep doing it, then they're defiant. And then you knock on the door, and then you go, I'm going to call the authorities because this keeps up. If that's what you do.
Because the people who are moving into the neighborhoods now, like they're just kind of clueless. They don't know. And all I feel that's not how things work
here. Well, since they're clueless, give them a clue.
All right, I'll leave a note.
That's right. And make sure the note is in with a Sharpie, like not a pen. You know, make it a block letter note. So, you know, you're not messing around.
I put it in a sleeve in case it rains or something.
I'll take one out of
that's
trucks.
Right. Laminate it.
I laminate that thing.
Right.
And please don't leave your trash here.
Rich Kotite's chart.
Yeah, I'm not playing games with these people.
But I don't know what to do. Now, should I go ask if they have my recycling bin and ask if this is their fancy feast? Because none of the stuff in the recycling bin was mine. So I think they took my recycling bin, too.
You don't
Mine's
have
registered to the city.
You don't have your recycling bin anymore?
No, I have one, but it has
another yours?
No, it has all this other stuff in it.
Well, why don't you look when they put the trash out, look and see if it's yours. And then just switch it out.
I know, but I won't be able to tell because it's just the generic blue one that you have to get from the city.
So why do you care?
Why do you care?
Because it's their they left their trash in a recycling bin.
I'm saying it's going to get emptied. And then
it wasn't empty. This was after the recycling was taken.
What I'm saying is that you care about what's in the bucket, but I don't, like, you don't care about your bucket versus the next door neighbor. It's the same bucket, right?
Yeah,
as long as the bucket's empty,
who cares?
I thought you had a hand painted flower.
Yeah, or something or like your address, the townhomes, they have like in black marker like the number of the street, like seven.
It's my recycling bin, and I think it's rude that they took an empty one and left theirs with their cat food in it.
It is rude.
Well, if they took
it is rude.
Yeah.
That's why you got to put
and a ton of other trash too.
Yeah, well, I would be mad too.
I'm a very patient person, so me to be annoyed.
I don't have a problem having beef with my neighbors, the way Some people do. My next door neighbor, for example, they're fine. Like, we don't talk to each other. Mm-hmm. I think that's the way we both want it. Fine. Yeah. But there was a person across the way one time that had one of his buddies park in one of my two spots. Mm-hmm. I just buried him. I wasn't nice about it. Like, get out of my spot. Then his car stalled. I just buried him.
I'm worried I'm going to get fined.
Why would you get fined?
Because the way that the boxes are put out, because of the way that the trash is excessive every week.
Well, if you get fined, then you just turn the other people in and switch it up. You'll get a hearing or whatever.
A trash man once knocked on my door to yell at me about it.
Well, did you set him straight? It's not yours?
Yeah, I said, these aren't my boxes. All right. I said, well, then do something with it, because it rained and the boxes were out front. It was awful.
All right. Let's go to Frankie on his cell. Frankie, you're on 97.5 The Fag. Frankie.
Hey, Mike Mitch.
What's up, Frankie? How you doing?
Doing real good. Hey, Tyrone, you and Mike Mitch are like the best. Natalie, no offense, you don't talk that much, but you guys are like the best team sports Philadelphia here.
Thanks, Frankie. She talks.
She does.
She just got done talking for 10 minutes about the trash.
Trash.
Yeah, all right.
Trash.
Okay.
Talk about trash. So, hey, I'd like to talk about some Flyers action right now.
Go ahead.
So, you know, you're the pulse of the city. I think you guys should, like, back off the Sixers because they're not right now. The Flyers.
I'm sorry?
Talk about the Flyers. Hype them up a little bit more in your radio show. I think it's going to be a good June for us.
Well, I think you might be right, and when the playoffs come around, we'll obviously be talking more Flyers, but, you know, there is the pie chart.
You got the pie chart, yeah, right.
The pie chart.
Number 9 right now.
Yeah.
But,
No, the pie chart means that there are other sports that are more conversant.
Yeah, but, you know, you guys are almost being a dead horse. Simmons doesn't shoot the ball. He's great with the layup. And Vinny wants to be a baby. Doesn't want to do this. Fire Brett Brown. You know, let's talk about AD having some guts going out there, putting his players out there on blast. They're playing for him. They're winning.
We had AB on yesterday. Aren't you listening?
No.
See? That's what I mean. Nice conversation with AB yesterday.
What's great with this show, my son's watching right now on TV. So when I get home, we're going to talk about this for a little while.
All right, awesome. You know, it's going to... Let's go to Roy in Philadelphia. Roy, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Roy?
Okay, you got the Sixers playing Cleveland, and they're set to play without Simmons. But then you lose Embiid. So now the defense of Cleveland can forget about the fact that Embiid is in the game and concentrate more on Tobias. They can double team him. They could deny him the ball. There's a lot of things they can do now because they don't have to worry about Embiid or Simmons. And it's hard for a coach to switch up like that, you know, because you can switch up defensively, but you can't switch up offensively. There's nothing on the Sixers team that compares to Embiid.
And I get it. Cleveland is the worst defensive team in the league. They stink. Okay, so other guys that are more talented than the Cleveland players needed to step up and rescue that game. It's simple.
You're playing 4-on-5.
What are you talking about playing 4-on-5? What are you even talking about? You got
nothing on the bench that compares to Embiid.
No kidding. But you don't have to have Embiid to beat Cleveland.
No, Cleveland is not a 9-73 team now.
They stink. Come on, Roy, stop.
They will beat the other team.
Come on, Roy.
Come on, now give Cleveland some credit.
Why? They're horrendous. They don't play defense. They're horrendous. Why do I have to give them credit? Why can't the remaining players on the Sixers, who are better than what Cleveland has, win that game?
You saw what happened, don't you?
Because guys didn't take personal responsibility to play as well as they should have.
It's hard to coach a team in that situation.
Roy, how come it last night? They were prepared to play without him.
Yes.
Oh, all right.
Two guys that are getting paid
$30 million are supposed to have an excuse for not beating the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Your bench player.
Come on, man. Let's go to Bob and Ridley. Bob, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bob.
Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Bob?
How's everybody?
Good.
You know what, Mike? Last time I talked to you was 20-some years ago when Tim Thomas was picked, and you said he was a mutt, and I said he was going to be a star. You ended up being right there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he was a mutt in college. You could tell the way he had mutt tendencies.
I thought he was going to be a star, and you called it right. Mm-hmm. I'm so frustrated with the management of the Phillies, the Eagles, and the Sixers. They're just totally incompetent. Howie Roseman does not deserve to be a GM. He knows nothing about football. Matt Klentak is an idiot. And the most egregious of all is Elton Brand. He deserves that job about as much as I do. Okay? He'll never fire Brett Brown because Brett Brown got him the job. So I'm banging my head against the wall.
I'm so sure that Brett Brown got him the job, to be honest with you. I think that was an ownership call. I don't think that was a Brett call.
Oh, does Josh Harris really think these guys are running his franchise well?
I think he does, but I think that at the end of the year, if they don't get to a certain level, he'll pull a plug.
On both of them, you think?
No, not Elton. Elton will keep his job.
Oh, God. I think that's even worse than keeping Brett Brown.
Nah, it's not.
You think he's a decent gentleman?
I don't know yet. He's only had a little bit of time, and if they fail, it's up to him to put a better team around Simmons and Embiid for next year. So we'll see what he does.
Oh my God! You trust him to do that? I have no faith in him.
Well, I mean, let me ask you a question. What were you thinking about the Sixers coming into this year? Were you like everybody else thinking they were one of the best teams in the East that could win the East?
I did.
All right, so then he put together that team, right? So, So now after the fact, you go, well, he's his lousy general manager. But at the time, you thought he did the right thing, right?
Oh, God.
Am I right?
Yeah, you're right.
All right, see, that's the thing. You have the knowledge after the fact, you're always a lousy GM. But at the time, you thought he put together a pretty good plan. All right, Phillies, win 6-5 today.
Play well
now, Tyrone... What did I say at the beginning of the year? How they should have shaped this team? What the starting lineups? Who did I have as their infield?
You had Jetpacks at second.
Uh-huh.
You had you wanted Bohm at third.
I wanted Bohm at third because I said it's time now. You start the season with him.
Didee at short, obviously, and King.
Right. Take a chance. Let the kid grow as a starting player in the league. Stop fiddle-faddling around.
And money be damned. Not worry about when he's going to get to arbitration. Exactly. Just go with him opening day.
Now, he had two more hits today.
Really? Two more hits
today? He's hitting .583 with an on-base percentage of .538 in spring training so far.
Do you think?
Comes the time, point in time where you got to take a shot. You know what I'm saying?
Do you think deep down they hope he starts struggling? Because if he can, let's say he bats 300 the whole time.
He's not going to come with the team. He's not coming
No matter what he does. Fans will be mad, though. I'm saying if he cools off, they can understand it. But if he keeps it, let's say he bats 300.
Well, if Segura hits, they won't. But, you know, my point was get guys in their natural positions, grow the team instead of sticking. Slapping.
Segura until July. This guy until.
Right.
Then we'll switch it around.
Believe in what you got and just let it grow. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
.975 The Fanatic.
Let's get our final Twitter poll numbers. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Get your lawnmower, zero turn, or any of your small engine tools up and running again in time for spring with Paul B. Moyer and Sons online parts warehouse. Visit poweredbymoyer.com today. Natalie.
Thank you, mister. Today's poll has over 1,200 votes on it. As a fan, do you think you have an impact on the actions or decisions of the teams? 28% say yes, 72% say no.
All righty, thank you. Yeah, there was a group called Mister.
Oh, yeah, there was.
Take these broken wings and let me fly in.
Oh, that's right? Mr. Mister.
That's Mr. Mister, right?
That's a good one.
And then they do the Kyrie, you know, the God song. Kyrie and Allegra.
Oh, Kyrie Allegra?
Yeah, Kyrie Allegra. That's Mr. That's Mr. Mister.
Pull that out of my
there you go.
Church songbook pocket.
Mr. Mister. All right, so turn around. Get this rim shot ready. And you'll know when to play it. But I'm going to segue. But first, like we've been told by the people here at the company that they got the coronavirus under control, or they're taking steps.
Oh, good.
Oh, okay.
Did you see the memo?
I saw the memo,
dear tenant.
Yeah.
To help mitigate your concerns about the spread of coronavirus, we are proactively implementing enhanced cleaning and sanitizing of our buildings. we're in the construction here. I don't know if this applies to us.
Well, you
know
I was kind of giggling when I saw it, too, because literally in the middle of the
we have engaged our janitorial vendors to increase the frequency and scope of cleaning frequently touched surfaces throughout the workplace. This will include increasing the use of disinfectants on all high traffic areas, such as door handles, elevator call buttons, faucets, etc. All right, well, that's nice. Now, on a related note, did you see where the president has put Mighty Mike Pence, vice president, in charge of controlling the coronavirus situation?
I did see that.
All right, now here comes the rim shot. So, Mike Pence undoubtedly will set a good example by wearing a daily mask, which will make it impossible for him on a daily basis to kiss Trump's ass. Thank you.
It's a good one.
Late night joke.
Yeah. It's like very monologue-ish.
Yeah.
Late night monologue.
Thank you very much. That's the political moment today.
That's a good one, mister.
But it was actually another political moment because Brooks got in a little trouble.
Now, this one, let me tell you something. Uh-huh. These people are allowed to vote.
Yeah.
What'd he do?
Well, here's what happened.
He was doing a concert in Detroit.
Concert in Detroit, and he wore a Barry Sanders jersey. And social media Republicans thought that they blanched because they thought he was endorsing Bernie Sanders, especially country music fans who are mostly Trumpists. And they weren't very happy that he wore a Sanders jersey, thinking it was Bernie Sanders.
He's in Detroit. It's a Lions jersey.
Not everybody's a sports fan, Tyrone. You know?
You got to be the dumbest. Like,
who would put a politician on a sports jersey anyway?
People are so looking for stupid.
Yeah, they're looking.
Like, you're looking for stupid. You're stupid. You're looking for stupid. Like, what? It doesn't even make sense that he would do that. He's in Detroit wearing a Lions jersey. Wouldn't you Google it?
But,
famous Lion Sanders before you got mad?
We don't know if Barry Sanders wasn't a socialist. So,
just doing material.
Thank you. Thank you. Chad in Bucktown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chad.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
What's up, Chad?
Hey, just a quick thing about the trash issue.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like a ruling and a suggestion from you. So
yes.
We live in a development of about 30 houses,
uh-huh.
And two of them use a different trash company that comes every Monday morning between 4 and 4:30 a.m. and basically wakes up the whole neighborhood. So, number one.
Well, you don't have like a township trash collection?
No. It's like our neighborhood, we got together and essentially like 28 neighbors said, let's go with this one. We got a good price. And two of them decided they wanted to go with another one.
Well, did they get a better price?
No, it's the same price. I mean, that's the thing that's
well,
crazy.
That's peculiar. Okay.
Yes, it is. But you know, neighbors, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so anyway, so I personally think that's a violation. And then the second thing is, how would you recommend to handle that?
Well, what's the problem? Because they come early?
Well, they come at 4 in the morning, well, and they wake everybody up. I mean, you know, the recycling, they went out, bang, 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 the track, the trucks.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's really nothing you can do about it except go to the people and say, would you consider changing your trash to that because it's really, it's waking us up. And doesn't it wake them up also?
I'm sure it does.
Well, I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me at all. But if they're going to, I mean, maybe it's their relatives or something that they want to reach out and give throw a bone to, like, or maybe they're mobsters and they went with Barone sanitation from The Sopranos. I don't know. That's a weird situation. But I would go to them and say, listen, it's really disconcerting to wake us up at 4 o'clock, and would you consider changing it up?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, just appeal to their sensibilities, because I'm sure it's going to wake them up too, unless they're, you know, they're early risers.
Right, like no note in the mailbox or anything like that. You're saying,
head down. Well, I would knock on their door. You know, I would go straight up, because that's more personal touch, because then they can see how earnest you are about it. And in Natalie's case, a sign is more sufficient.
Okay.
All right, man.
Well, I appreciate it.
Good luck with that. That's weird.
That is weird. Like, but Pennsylvania works like that. Like, you got to pick your trash and. Person across the street has a different trash than you, and yeah, I don't have to worry about that.
You know, it's funny, when I bought the house, I bought it like I was living in a townhouse, and I moved like literally across the intersection.
Yeah, I remember you showed me.
And I schlepped the township recyclable bin with me.
Oh, you took it from them?
Not thinking that I could get a new one. So I took the old one. I got the oldest one in the neighborhood, and everybody's got a new, brand new yellow one.
You know, there was controversy in my neighborhood.
What?
Yeah, real fast. So we used to have our own trash. You have your own trash can, and you put it down. And in the summertime, they do it twice a week. Well, now, there's a township issue trash can that everybody has to use. And if you want another
it's
one.
A bigger one, right?
Yeah, a big one. You got to pay for it if you want a second one. And they move the trash day. And even in the summer, it's going to be once a week. And people are all upset about maggots and stuff. It's a whole problem. People are very
upset. How much trash would you have? That thing is worth equivalent to 2 cans.
It's sitting in the summer. So it doesn't come twice a week. So then it sits and sits and sits. And then it's gross. Now you're out there with a thing of bleach having to clean the big trash can.
I
had to
trash.
Do that a bunch of times last summer. And now I'm going to have to do it more because it's growing to once a week. And people are livid in the neighborhood. Ooh. Livid.
Uh-oh. Well, you're moving out of that neighborhood soon, aren't you?
You'll have city trash problems soon, like me.
Working on it, you know.
Yeah,
still looking.
All right, well, good luck. Sound off is coming our way in 5 right here on 97.5 Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic. You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number 5 will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedic Same-Day Joint Replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com. Keep going.
It's time for 7. Don't forget Flyers Rangers to the 97.5 Fanatic and also on NBC Sports Philly. I don't like the Flyers tonight. I actually don't like them. I like the Rangers to win. I like the Flyers to come back and beat them at the Garden and home to home. But anyway, sound out 610-771-9705. Let's see what we got.
Thank you, Tobias, for showing up. Nice double-double, 34. Jay Rich, not so much. Check the gym bag for that heart. But once again, Club Tyrone coming through. Shake it up. Shake it up. Way to go, shaky.
He had cars on you instead of the shake song, Tyrone.
That's all right. That's cultural.
All right.
Not everybody's a Pitbull fan.
Shake it.
Not everybody's a fan.
Yeah, I got you.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, they asked Tobias Harris to step up against the Knicks, and he did just that. But I think that's an indication of upbeat, positive things to come for the team.
No, I've seen it before. Sometimes he steps up, sometimes he doesn't. So, you know, I don't know. I need a little more than one bad night, one good night.
So for a while, I thought maybe Brett Brown was just a bad coach, but now the evidence is mounting that he may be the worst coach in the NBA. Can you name one thing that he does well as a basketball coach? Just one.
I don't know. It's hard to tell how good an NBA coach is. Like, I look at the players, and they're the most important thing, and they really have to take personal responsibility for winning games and losing games. And there's only so much a coach can do. But you could be right. Maybe he's a lousy coach. Who knows?
Mike, what do you need to win in the NBA? Players. You need talent. You don't trade the talent. You find somebody who can coach the talent. That's what the game's all about. Brown should have been gone.
Again, you're going down this road. Stop it. You're obsessed with Brown should be gone. He's not gone. He's not going to be gone. You just got to hope they can pull it together. And if they don't pull it together, then he's going to be gone.
Saturday evening at Club Tyrone, Jake Milton is bringing a special guest to be named later. Mike Bissonelli, we know you have a robot Husqvarna lawnmower, but we need you to bring out your robot vacuum so you can clean the red carpet.
I have robot vacuum.
Oh, yeah, I might, you know what? That's a good idea to add to Club Tyrone a Roomba.
A Roomba?
Yeah, and I could save money on staff, have them just doing handling the bathrooms and stuff.
What are you going to name it?
The Roomba?
Yeah. Mike has Fred.
Probably a Joe. Joe Roomba.
Joe Roomba.
Yeah, Joe
Joe's
Roomba.
Joe's cleaning the bathroom.
Probably a Joe.
Joe Roomba.
Yeah, people that have a big family need one of those things.
Yeah, you're right.
Nah, no, it's just me. I don't need a Roomba.
I heard you talking to a caller about a possible acquisition of Darius Slay. And you said they're going to want it first. How in the hell is the Lions ever going to embezzle a first-round draft choice for Darius Slay?
Well, maybe they can't. I'm just telling you what they want. Right? So if they don't get a first-round pick, maybe they keep them. Or then maybe the price comes down. I'm just telling you what the status is right now.
That's what they have publicly asked
yes,
for.
They
want to want.
Right.
Mr. Missinelli, what do you think the dumbest comment is so far of 2020? Tyrone's pick of Oklahoma over LSU, or Devon Wilder saying that his suit for his entry for the fight was too heavy and made his legs tired? By the way, I'm taking Davidson tonight outright.
Deontay Wilder, first of all, not Devon. Devon Gibbons will be on after this show.
Yeah.
All right.
Why do you call the Wells Fargo Center the barn? There's nothing rural about it. In South Philadelphia, there's highway, there's refineries, there's pollution, there's graffiti, and there's not a nice thing about it. It's a total ugly atmosphere. It's the barn. We lovingly call it the barn. Are you kidding me?
Oh, I can tell you're a real big hockey fan. That's a hockey thing, brother. Come on. They call the rink the barn. Let's go. Get with it.
He might have to come to the symposium. And I don't think that's
right.
A bother.
Come on, man. What's up? You never heard of hockey players talk like the barn? We got our barn, their barn. Well, get with it.
Hey, Michael, you say I'm going to jinx the Flyers because I talk them up a little bit. I waited 63 games to do so. Now, here's a jinx for you. You talked up the Phillies, the Eagles, and you talked up the Sixers before the season even started. That is a jinx.
What are you even talking about? I don't even believe in jinxes. And so, like, we talk about stuff that's pertinent. The Flyers are pertinent. I hope they go to the playoffs. We'll talk about them a lot. It has nothing to do with a jinx. Close it down, Tyrone. I had enough.
Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedic same-day joint replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com.
Got a beef?
I don't like them.
What are the limits?
Because I don't like
them. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your
sound off gets on.
All righty. Devon Gibbons up next right here, 97.5 The Fanatic. And then Flyers, Rangers. Stay tuned. ABC Sports, Quick Slants, Flyers pregame show, Flyer Hockey. Have a great weekend, everybody. Talk to you Monday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.